In Matthew chapter 14, we've been looking at a theme that God has given us for this year, a word, a promise, something from Scripture actually, taken directly from the book of Romans. And it's about this vision that Jesus has for us because of what he has done for us through the cross and resurrection. Because of the abundance of grace, which means grace is a word that's used a lot, but sometimes I don't think we really lay hold of it well enough. Grace is God's free, unearned, undeserved gift and blessing in Christ through Jesus. Because of his abundant grace and the gift of righteousness. And I just, you know, already I'm set free by thinking that righteousness is a gift. I think all other religions work their way to God. Christianity is the only religion, or faith, it's not a religion, faith, where God has come to man. And he has made a way for man to reach God through Jesus. And it's all a gift. Salvation is a free gift. Forgiveness of sins is a gift we can't earn. Eternity in heaven is a gift we can't earn. Our performance could never be good enough. And that is why what Jesus has done, we'll never stop talking about it. And he wants to change the world by knowing about what he has done. But it talks about this gift of righteousness, being right with God. And it's amazing that if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says you are born again. You become a child of God. Not just born, you were born the first time of your parents. But through faith in Jesus, God does something new on the inside of you. You're born again of God, and you become a child of God. And it says in the scripture in Romans that through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. And what an amazing vision that God has for people, for his people, for his church, and actually for everybody who will receive him. Reign in life. Now, it doesn't mean dominate people. Let's just first look at that, because I think sometimes I think people go all kind of hard-nosed about this and start wrecking relationships and ruining marriages and destroying people's lives by saying, well, I'm the boss around here. That's not the way that Jesus reigns. Jesus reigns with humility, but he also reigns with power and authority. And he doesn't force people into submission. He waits until we're willing to yield to him because he's good. Everything about Jesus is good. And he kind of waits until there's this willing, yeah, I yield to you as my Savior and Lord. And this reigning in life actually means to personally live out of the victory that Jesus has won for each and every one of us. So that we're not under the circumstances. I mean, what a vision for your year. Circumstances and stuff will come, but you won't live under them. You'll live over them. If we will accept what Jesus wants to do in us and through us. And so we've been reading through this story in the life of the disciples and their relationship with Jesus. And these are followers of Jesus doing what Jesus asked them to do. And it's from Matthew chapter 14, and we'll start verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples to get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray, and when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Peter comes out with this one. "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." Don't get so used to that you don't realize how much of a miracle that is. That some man should say, "Right, I want to do that. because he sees Jesus doing it. It's amazing. It's an amazing statement. Lord, if that's you, I want to come out. Tell me to come out and walk on water with you. And Jesus said, come. Because actually he wants us to be walking as he walks. And Peter got down out of the boat. That's a moment. Walked on water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him, and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, this begins, and we've already sort of been mentioning this year. This begins with the disciples really struggling, going in obedience with the Lord, but struggling against buffeting, which is a lot of stuff that continually hits against that boat to try and stop that boat reaching the shore where there is masses of fruit, an outpouring of the Spirit. The best time yet is on the other side. And these disciples are being buffeted, and obviously it's not Jesus that's doing it. And I believe there are evil powers that stir up against God's people who are walking towards what God wants to do with their lives. And they come against believers. They come against the church again and again and again. And do you know what? One or two knocks is okay. But when it's been knocking all night and it's 3 a.m. and you're absolutely worn out, fed up, tired out, can't think of another thing, an ounce of energy, we don't know what to do, you're totally at the end of yourself. And I believe with all of my heart that the moment you get to that point, which doesn't feel very nice, I've been there quite a lot. I can't do this anymore. I can't work this out. I don't seem to be able to see this change. Lord, I give up. I'm just going to give up. And Jesus goes, excellent. Now let me have a go. Let me change you so that you have the power to do what I'm doing. And I actually think it's great to get to the end of ourselves. I think human effort, and I know that human effort can never accomplish the things of God. See, sometimes we're just too big for God to use. We're just too strong in ourselves for God to actually do a miracle and work something supernatural. Sometimes we try so hard to change another person, where actually God is saying it's actually a waste of time. You can't change them. You can't even change yourself. Why don't you just give up and let me take over? And so the fourth watch is this time between 3 and 6 a.m. That's what the fourth watch means. Where actually it's been a heck of a long night and they're at the end of themselves. And this is the point we get to. And Paul spoke about it. Not I, but Christ. Christ lives in me. I no longer live. It's no longer me. It's him, Christ in me, that is going to bring about what God promises, and the best life. Jesus says, I've come to give you life, life in all its fullness. But life in all the fullness isn't I, but Christ in me. He has become our very life. And I love this story because I see how the Master Jesus comes to his people in their struggles, and he does what is so simple and so profound and so powerful that with a few words changes Peter completely. He brings Peter into a new walk. But the new walk began by Peter receiving an inner change. And I don't believe we can see external change in our circumstances or an overcoming walk until something happens on the inside of us, that we receive something from God that empowers us to live a new life and walk a new life. The Bible says that we're now to walk in newness of life, not in the old. And Jesus simply comes into their view. First of all, they're scared. But that's a lot of people when they get confused with their circumstances, so full of what's going wrong that they can't even see Jesus anymore. And he shows up because he wants them to see him. That's the beginning of the end of our problems, looking to Jesus. And he simply begins to say a few words to Peter. So he doesn't send in a legion of angels just to pick Peter up and say, come on, let's move you on. Peter isn't slain in the spirit in the boat. He's not shaken first. Jesus just says a few words. I've counted them. There are eight. It's not a conference that changed Peter. It's eight words. And those words are amazing because they're so simple. Jesus said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. What Peter heard made him so courageous, he saw himself walking on water after hearing, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. No more than eight words. That's all he received to be able to walk on water. Don't you think Jesus actually hammers religion in the face at that moment? And Jesus is actually talking about having a relationship with him in such a way that the few words he says to you will be words that completely make you a struggling, weak, end of yourself, nothing, into more than a conqueror. Just a few words from Jesus. He didn't say, which I hear a lot, do it afraid. He said, don't fear. He didn't say, do life afraid. He said, don't fear. Take courage, I'm here. Stop being afraid. And so whenever you hear someone say, well, I do life afraid, say to them, you don't have to. Jesus says, take courage. I'm here. Stop being afraid. You know, when I want to stop water coming through my tap, I turn it off. And Jesus says it's time to turn off fear. In you and inside your heart, your mind, your emotions spiraling because of fear, stop it. He didn't say, oh, don't worry about it, mate, you can do this. Because without him, we can do nothing. We don't bolster ourselves up in ourselves. God, I'm a really, what an amazing guy I am. You want to know how gifted I am? I'm so gifted. I'm so talented. I'm so right. I'm so strong. And Jesus didn't say that. Because you have to know you're dead. But Christ lives in me. You've got to be so dependent on the Lord. And this is what God wants. He wants you to come to the end of yourself where you're able to receive everything you need from Him so that you can walk reigning in life. Jesus said, take courage, I'm here. We could have a revival with that. Take courage, I'm here. I remember when I was a child, I grew up in Africa, in Zimbabwe. And my father was a policeman, and we lived on what they called a police camp. And I don't know, there were always lots of prisoners escaping. And as a child, you used to hear all these bad things that used to happen. And sometimes I used to go to bed at night thinking about those prisoners climbing through my window. Afraid. And if I did drop off to sleep, I would be awakened in a nightmare. From a nightmare. Because I thought, the bad people are coming to get, in fact, they're under my bed. I mean, has anybody as a child ever thought, something under my bed? In fact, there's something in the room. You might not be able to see it, but there's something here. And that caused fear to reign over me. And I used to cry out, afraid. And either my mum or dad would come running in because they would know the genuine. Not the moan, I don't want to sleep, but the cry, I'm scared. And they would run in, as a true parent would, and say, it's okay, I'm here. And I would completely change because of who was there. It would completely transform me as a person, as a little child. It's all right, Daddy's here. It's okay. If there are any big criminals in here, he's going to get them. Now you see, we have such a low level of faith in the words of Jesus that says, I am here. And that means everything that God is, was, will be, all his miracles, all his power, all his ability is currently present in every believer all the time. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And so when Jesus was saying, take courage, it wasn't bolster yourself up and be a man. It was take courage from my constant companionship and presence. And just like as a child, fear left my bedroom because my parent came. How much more should you and I stop being afraid because God is here? Tell somebody next to you if you want to. I should never fear anything because God is here. Never fear. And you know, parents, when I was a child, my parents loved me. I was blessed to have parents who loved me. And how much more does God love us? And I don't know whether you know this, but John 17:24 says this. You have loved them even as you've loved me. In other words, God has loved his people, disciples, and even the world, those who don't yet know him, even as you love me. In other words, God loves us the same as Jesus. Can you imagine? It's hard, isn't it? Isn't it hard to get? Because you know, in yourself, you know, you think, there's a lot about me that's not lovable. But God is consistently perfect in his love towards us. And if God loves you as much as he loves Jesus, you could not be more loved. There's nobody on this earth that's more loved than you. And God doesn't have favorites. So he doesn't prefer you to somebody else. And he doesn't prefer somebody else to you. We're all loved. Need to walk around saying, God loves me. He loves me. And because that my parents loved me, they acted when I was afraid. So actually, an understanding that God's presence isn't just here to say, look how great I am. He's come to actually solve whatever you struggle with. And if there is anything bad in the room, get it out. And deal with the struggles of life. 1 John 14:18 says, let's just look at that. 1 John 4:18. Did I say that? I can't remember. Did I say that? God loves me anyway. There is no fear in love. Actually, it starts earlier, a few verses back, with God is love. There is no fear. Say there is no fear. In love. So as a child, my fear used to go out the room as soon as my parent walked in. Now, with God, God doesn't have to walk in. He's here all the time. Which is why, whatever I'm in, God's there. Because I've accepted Jesus Christ, and his presence is with me always. And that means his love for me should actually drive out all fear in me. If I really believe how amazing, how big, how great, how awesome, how powerful, and how willing he is to help me. He does not want us to struggle with fear. He does not want us to be anxious because he's here. Take courage. What's that? Take strength from the fact that I am here. Don't be weak and cowardly. Because fear makes you a coward, doesn't it? Fear makes you step back and bow to whatever is going on. Godly courage makes you step forward and walk on water. Receive courage from me. That's all Peter heard. Take courage. I'm here. Stop being afraid. See, there's something about the words of Jesus. And by the way, they are the words of Jesus from the Word of God. So they're the words of Jesus to everybody in this room. It'll either work for you or won't work at all, hearing those words. You can be in one meeting and somebody will take courage and stop being afraid forever and learn how to walk free from fear. Or somebody else will listen to these words and go, I wish that was me. That would be nice. I'd like to live a life free from fear, but I've been afraid of this all my life. Whenever this situation happens, I start to worry. And worry starts to affect me, my health. Everything about you will be affected through worry. Worry is a dangerous thing. It attacks health, and it attacks emotional and mental health. And it will actually bring you down unless you receive what Jesus is saying by faith. And I want to be like Peter, don't you? Standing in that wave-tossed moment, hearing these words, and still being like this, but suddenly saying, I can walk on water. The waves hadn't stopped, but he changed. I can walk on water. This is amazing. This isn't going to throw me out of the boat. It's not going to stop me going anywhere. I'm going to walk with Jesus. And that's the difference of receiving the word and mixing it with faith and taking it for you, or hearing these eight words and it not changing you. This is for me as well. God wants to change me and you today through these eight words. You see, we can't reign in life in fear. We can't reign in life worried about everything. We can't reign in life stressed. We can't reign in life anxious and getting panic attacks. That's the extreme. Now, panic attacks are horrendous. If you've ever had one, you will know you are overtaken, debilitated completely by fear. It might happen at night or it might happen in a certain situation, but it is horrible. And I want to tell you today that fear is not from God. Fear is not to be received as from God. It is to be received as from the enemy of God, Satan. And Satan comes to actually paralyze your life through fear. Because fear paralyzes. If you've ever seen a frightened rabbit, it rabbit in the headlights, what does it do? And that's like when fear comes in, people go. And God does not want any one of his people walking, continuing in, saying you're a Christian, but not overcoming. It's time to reign in life. And it's time to deal with our fears and our worries and our concerns, because they will keep us sinking. See, the remedy is faith and love. You've got to know that God loves you and is ever-present help in that moment. And your faith's got to be more in him than in what you feel or see happening. Because faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not yet see. Faith is not feelings. Which is why Jesus doesn't say, stop feeling that. He says, stop being afraid. He doesn't address people's feelings. He speaks to their hearts and says, I want you to stop this and believe that I'm here. And I believe that this year, as we embark on such a year of victory, miracles, fruitfulness, that right at the outset today, this morning, God wants to deal with undealt with fears. People go into decline when they're afraid. People lose their jobs when they're afraid. People can lose their marriages and their relationships through fear. Because they begin to live in an unreal world, predicting problems. Fear makes you so negative and despairing. You're not an easy person to live with. Because you start to live in this world of expectation of bad things happening. And fear is very powerful. Fear is very powerful. And if it enters me, it dominates me. But if I receive these words of Jesus today, I make a choice today to not be dominated by any fear or worry. And I take courage from the truth that his presence is here. Therefore, I can receive everything I need in this moment to change my view about what I'm in and say, hey, I'm going to conquer this. This is no longer going to beat me. this storm is no longer going to beat me. And I would like anyone this morning hearing these words who's fed up with fear, fed up with being concerned, stressed out about life, to say, today's the day I draw the line. And I'm going to take Jesus at his word and say, I'm going to stop being afraid. Amen. To be anxious and worried about little things and big things, and can't we all do it? I mean, I was doing it 2 weeks ago, last week, worried about something. And it just keeps repeating. Doesn't it worry? It's like it's, you know, when we used to have those old LPs. Does anybody remember an LP? Where you... By the way, I don't have any. I've moved. Praise God. But, you know, it used to get to... If it hit a scratch, it's just diggy, repeat, diggy, diggy. And you get the same sound over... And worry's like that. It just goes round and round like the record's stuck. And it's time to move it on. And say, I'm not going to land here. I'm not going to live here. It's time to move this thing on. And worry, the enemy will use worry in your head. It starts in your head. But actually it affects your heart or your spirit. It affects your faith. Fear makes weak Christians. Fear makes weak believers. Yes, you're born again. Yes, you're going to heaven. Yes, you can praise God and sing. But it makes you weak spiritually. You'll never conquer things that Jesus has for you to do because if you stay afraid. Afraid of symptoms. Afraid of this problem that I've always had. Afraid that because it's in the family, I'm going to get it. Come on. My hereditary is over, naturally speaking, because I died. And my life is now hidden in Christ, in God. My health comes from Jesus. My health doesn't come from my family. Negativity. Fear makes you negative. It makes you hopeless. It makes you look at life glass half full. It actually depresses people, fear. Pushes people down. Faith lifts people up. Fear is faith in the negative. Just let me unpack that. Faith in something going bad. It's faith in something going wrong. Faith in believing things the wrong way. Not believing the good about Jesus and what he promises, but believing the problem and the circumstance. Job, you know, so many people are Christians are confused about Job. But there is a line that answers everything about Job. And if you're willing to receive it today, some of you maybe for the first time, don't talk about going through a Job season. Talk about going through a Jesus season, which is more than a conqueror. Right. What did Job say? It's written in the Bible. What I greatly feared came upon me. If you need a lesson from Job, it's that one. What I feared, because it's believing the wrong way, it'll work. What you're afraid of will happen if you keep going down that road. You will never conquer and live a victorious life that Jesus has set you up for in Christ if you harbor and keep worry on the inside of you. What I believed would come upon me. See, I want to believe all the good things will come upon me. I want to believe every good word and every good promise. All good things will come upon me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Not difficulties and problems and things I can't win and sicknesses and lack and just living in fear and concerned about everybody and everything. Don't justify your fear. Don't explain it. Don't sit down and have a counseling session about being afraid. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Stop it. Turn off the tap and turn on the faith tap to allow the courage of Jesus to enter your spirit and your heart. When, listen to this, when fear knocks on the door, what happens to you? Sometimes I think faith jumps out the window. Here comes a problem, suddenly, do you know what's happened? And it's like, out the window jumps your faith. Shh. But Jesus says, don't let it in. Keep him at the door and say, no entry. You're not coming into my mind. You're not coming into my heart. I'm not allowing you to work in my thought life. I'm going to think about whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, whatever things are true, and are of a good report. What does fear bring? A bad report. Whatever things are of a good report. Think on these things and the peace of God that passes all understanding. Come on, church, we've got to do life God's way. Otherwise, we won't win. It's time to conquer fear. I had a day off on Friday. It's my normal day off. And it was lovely because I was waiting. Actually, my boiler broke this week. And so I had to have an engineer in on Friday to have a look at my boiler and fix it. I was just given this one word from Jesus that I meditated on the whole day. And I'm telling you, it did me so much good, I'm sharing it with you this morning. It's John's Gospel again. John. John 14 and verse 1. Just one verse. These aren't many words either. Do not let. Just let's say that together, shall we? Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Another translation says, trust in God, trust also in me. Now, this is an instruction from Jesus. It's not what he's going to do. It's what we are to do. Do not let your heart be troubled. Isn't that an instruction for something for us to do? Close the door to fear. Don't let it into your home. Don't let it into your life, your heart. And honestly, I thought about this all day, and there were a few things that came up during my day off, because, I don't know, you never have a day off from the enemy, do you? He's always having a go, but we're always winning. But this scripture, I was like, oh, I'm not even going to think about that. He tried to put something in my head. Why don't you think about how bad that's going to be or that situation is? And why don't you think about that? No, I won't let my heart be troubled. I won't let it be agitated. I won't let it be stressed. I won't kind of get myself into a frenzy of overworking my life. Do you know some of you are so tired because of stress? And actually, even fear and worry can actually cause you not to sleep. So physically, you're worn out. Mentally, you're a bit frazzled. If I could look into your brain, it's going bzz, bzz, bzz. And Jesus says, stop it. I love you, but stop it. Take courage, I'm here. Take courage. Don't take fear. Take courage, take strength. Take all the good. Now, don't be moved by whatever is going on around you or in your circumstances. Think about that. Isn't that a miracle? Okay, a miracle that Peter received whilst the boat was still being buffeted. Can I just emphasize that? Whilst it was still, the circumstances hadn't changed at all. But God had changed Peter. And you know, for us to reign in life, we've got to be real. We can't kind of just smudge over and expect to walk in victory. If we're not allowing him to speak into our hearts this morning, every day, and say, do not let your heart be troubled, trust me. I'm the one who can bring you into every overcoming step this year. I'll lead you in triumph if you're willing to be led. Just don't harbour fears and concerns and be stressed. And I believe that when Jesus spoke those words, something came into Peter's heart or spirit. And I want to tell you that your relationship with Jesus is the only thing that can give you courage. Hearing his word spoken to you, his voice, personally. Everybody else can be conquering, but if you're not praying and coming to Jesus, this was a two-way conversation, but most of it was Jesus speaking. So sometimes we just need to shut up with all our prayer requests and listen to the word. Listen to what Jesus is saying. For example, do not let your heart be troubled. He's saying it to you. Trust in God, trust also in me. Take courage, I'm here. Don't be afraid. That is enough to make you conquer this year. You don't need another word. Jesus said, my word is spirit. It's different to everybody else's word. It carries divine life and power. My word is spirit and it is life. And when his word enters your heart and you receive it by faith, you go, oh, something's happening on the inside of me. I feel so strong. I'm not afraid of that thing anymore. I don't have to live under this. I'm going to live over it. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And he gives us strength as we receive from his word to us today. He supplies his spirit to us as we hear with faith and works miracles. Shall we stand?
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log on to our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.